Matthew McConaughey. That's the kind of answer I expected, Matthew McConaughey. Sweet home Alabama. Yeah. Who's Matthew McFadden? Oh, on the lame Pride and Prejudice? Yeah. The good one is the BBC version. Annie. Yeah, not BBC, that's right. Britney Spears, she's kind of weird. Didn't you know that? She's kind of gone over the deep end. Jack Sparrow is not a real person. He's a character. Yeah. You're like my kids. They blur reality and fiction. Will Smith? Will Smith would be cool. I can back you on that. Anybody else? Who would you meet?
Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi. Do you like Bon Jovi? Oh, man. On a steel horse I ride. Yeah, not good. Guys, we are headed into a new series, which if you are new to our group this year, you might not know that we do a four-week series of study, then we have a week off, which was last week, the mystery dinner. Did you guys have fun at the mystery dinner? Did you guys all figure it out? Yeah, the team that won, they're like, yeah, that was so awesome. I'm still on a monster high.
Kaylee told me I had to take it the last month, otherwise she drinks it, but I forgot
it. Oh, I'm going to go steal it from her. And then once we do a night off, then we start a new series of study. And last series of study, we talked about what authentic Christian living was about, what the authentic Christian life, the genuine, real Christian life looks like. And this series, we are going to look at sort of an application of that truth. That's that series of authentic Christianity, which, by the way, is one of the three things that if you only take three things away from being in this youth group over the time that you are here, I hope that authentic Christianity is one of the things that you take away. That is one of the key things that we want you guys to understand from a biblical perspective. And this is kind of an application of that. This is a series called That's Life, as you can see on the top of your handout there. Because that was the font that I decided on. Thank you, Donjali. Thank you, Alyssa. We're going to look at some areas of most of your lives that you encounter every day. And really take a look at how you view your everyday life. And the reason why I wanted to do this series and the reason why I included it in what we're studying is that I find that maybe this is not true for you, but at least for me and for people that I've talked to, that sometimes we just kind of go through our day. Every day is kind of like the day before and kind of the same as the next, and we get up and we brush our teeth and we take a shower, hopefully, and we go to school and we just do the same things every day, and it's just one day after another, after another, after another. How many of you guys, when you got up this morning, were like, yes, I'm so excited about today? How many of you guys got up this morning and went, oh my gosh, why do I have to get up? That was totally me this morning. I stayed up way too late. I was so tired. I was like, oh. And I stayed up the night before and the night before, and I'm really tired. But I think sometimes we have the tendency to go, you know, we kind of have those normal days that are just like every other day. And then some days are actually pretty cool because they're like special days. And we look forward to those days. Like, some of you guys went to homecoming. Was it last week?
Yeah.
No, it was the week before. It was a week and a half ago. And probably when you guys, those of you who went to homecoming, when you woke up that day, you were like, yes, it's homecoming day. And you were excited because it was like a special, significant day. But But God actually kind of warns us against that kind of thinking, that some days are more special than the others, some days are more important than the others, some days have more significance than other days. If you look at Psalm 90, some of you guys might already have that open. Anybody have that open? Yet? What? 408. Turn to page 408, or you can look up here. It's just a really quick verse. It says this. It says, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. To live a wise life, if you guys remember, we come back a lot to this concept that the Bible is really the handbook for our lives. It's the place that we go to know how to live life. That it has everything that we need to live a life pleasing to God. And he says, this is wisdom. This is good knowledge to have, good understanding to have, that we number our days. Which doesn't mean that we go, okay, today is number one, and tomorrow is number two, and the next day is number three. What it means is to look at our days and realize that every single one of us have a limited number of days. We don't know how many those days are. Some of us have more days than others. I would bet that all of you have more days than I do, because I'm old, and I'm going to die. But you know, I actually... found this calculation that if you live to be 80 years old, which is kind of like, you know, lots of people, that's like kind of the median age, you will live 27,200 days. If like you died on your birthday, 80th birthday. It's a lot of days. But some of us have less days than that. Some of us have more days than that. Actually, probably most of us don't have that many days because we've already lost a lot of those days. But what he's saying is this. Look at your days and look at the fact that they're numbered and look at the fact that you only have a certain amount of time on this earth. And it may seem like a lot of time and it may seem like a lot of days, but you don't know how many days you have. And so we need to, what is wise and smart is to give significance to every day. We have a limited amount of time. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16 says this. It says, be very careful. It's talking to us. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. He says, be careful then how you live, be careful then with what you do with your day, with what you do with your time. Because so many times, we just kind of do things. We just kind of live. We just kind of go through life. Just kind of go on autopilot. This is just what we do, and we just do it every day. But he says that's unwise. He says the wise way to live is to make the most of every day. Make the most of every moment that you have. Make the most of every day. Make the most of every week. Make the most of every month, every year that you have. Some of us are always looking towards, and I'm including myself in this, always looking towards kind of the next milestone. You know, we're going, oh, I'm 15. Oh, if I can just, when I'm 16, that's when, you know, I get my driver's license, and that's what I'm looking for. I'm just going to kind of get through life until that point. Or you're 16 or 17, and you go, oh, if I just can get out of the house and on to college, that's really when life is going to start. But he says the wise way to live is to start now and go, you know what? This day, today, this hour, this moment, this is something that God has set for me, and I need to be careful how I live it. I need to be thoughtful about how I live my days. This series is going to be all about talking about some of the ways that we spend our time. And tonight, actually, we're going to talk about something that I believe is probably the most important thing that we could be spending our time on, that we could be taking time away for. How many of you guys wish that you had a closer relationship to God? Raise your hand if you wish that you had a closer relationship to God. Yeah, I think most of us do. And that's actually a good desire that as believers we have this innate thing in us that is a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. We always want a closer relationship, a better relationship with God. But In order to have a better relationship, just like relationships that we have with other people, we need to do some things to improve that relationship. And the thing that we're going to be talking about tonight is actually this idea of solo time. It's what I call solo time. Some people call it devotional time or quiet time, or I don't know. There's a bunch of different terms for it. But it is time spent one-on-one with God. Just you and God. And I don't know about you, but you guys are saying, you know, I want to grow in my relationship to God, and I want to grow in my relationship to God too. But when I want to grow in a relationship with someone, the first thing that I do, if I go, you know what, I really want to get to know that person better. The first thing I do is go, I need to go spend time with that person. Because if I don't spend time with that person, there's no way that I'm going to get to know that person better. I mean, I could probably read something about that person. I could read their diary, or I could, I would never read someone's diary, but I could read something. I could talk to their friends about who they are, and they could tell me some stuff about them. But if I really want to improve my relationship with that person, I'm going to go spend some time with that person. I remember when Melissa and I first started dating, we'd actually known each other for years. We were really good friends for years before we started dating. But something kind of changed when we started dating. And I just remember thinking, I want to know everything that there is to know about her. I want to spend as much time as I possibly can getting to know her, understanding her. I just wanted to know everything I could. There was that passion in me to go, I want that. I want to know everything. In Proverbs chapter 8, some of you guys hopefully have already flipped over to that. Starting in verse 34, it says this. It says, "Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord." He gives a picture here of someone waiting in great anticipation with bated breath. Do you guys know that term? I don't even know. That's kind of a gross term, bated breath. Like you put bait in your mouth. I don't know. But it's like you anticipate. It's like this hunger and thirst. You're looking forward to something or someone coming. That's the picture that he gives here. I remember, I don't know how I remember this so clearly, because I don't remember a lot of like things that I did when I was a child. My sister gives me a hard time all the time because she's always like, "Oh, do you remember when this happened?" And I was like, "No, not really. I just don't remember a whole lot about things, everyday life when I was a kid." But I remember very, very clearly when I was in third grade that there was this friend that was coming over. I don't know if it was the first friend that ever came over to my house or what, but it was really a big deal that this friend was coming over to hang out with me at my house. I remember the color of my house. I remember what the dining room table looked like that I was sitting at. I remember everything about this particular time when this guy was coming over to visit at my house. And I knew he was coming in a half hour. I know he was coming in 30 minutes to my house. And I don't know why I did this. This was really dumb. But I sat down at the dining room table, and I looked at the clock. And there was 30 minutes. And I just sat there. Because I was super excited about him coming over, and I was like, okay, all right, 30 more minutes, all right, 29 minutes and 45 seconds. And I just sat there for 30 minutes because I was so excited about this guy coming over, which, by the way, if you're trying to pass time, that is like the longest way to pass time. It took forever for the guy to come, but I was so excited about him coming. I was waiting there, looking out the window, going, "Oh, is he coming?" Listening for that knock at the door, for the doorbell to ring. I was like, "Oh, I can't wait for him to come." And that's the picture that he's saying here. But it's the picture of going that we're waiting for. We're waiting to get to spend time with. It's that kind of anticipation to spend time with God. That we look out at the gate. I don't know if any of you guys have gates on your houses, probably you don't, but some people have gates, you know, and you look out at the gate and you're like, "I just can't wait till God comes through the gate, because I just want to sit with him. I just want to spend time with him." You're looking at the door, just waiting for the door to open, for God to spend time with him. It's that anticipation of going, "I just want to spend time with God." And he says, "Blessed are you." It's a good thing when you desire to sit with God and just spend time with Him. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5 say this. They say, show me your ways, Lord. Which, by the way, we're going to look at a bunch of different passages today from the Old Testament that have, if you look at it, it has the word Lord all in capital letters. I think this is pretty significant for what we're talking about tonight, that anytime you see that, anytime you see the Bible, and there's the word Lord there, and it's all in capital letters, that's actually not the word Lord. It's called a transliteration, I think, which is actually that word there is God's name. Did you know that God actually has a name? He has a name just like I have a name. My name's Nate, Melissa, you know, we all have names. God has a name, and His name is Yahweh. Y-A-H-W-E-H. That's His name. And His name, and because they go, oh, Yahweh is Lord, we're going to just translate it as Lord because that's who He is. But it actually doesn't mean Lord, it means His name, Yahweh. So he says, show me your ways, Yahweh. We're talking to this personal guy with a personal name, God. He says, show me your way, Yahweh. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Solo time, this time spending one-on-one time with God is the idea of sitting at the feet of God and listening to Him. We're asking God, you know, it's time that you sit there and you go, God, show me your ways. Show me who you are. I want to know who you are. It's like a relationship. It's like going and hanging out with a friend and going, I want to know who you are. Tell me about yourself. I want to know who you are. And it's about asking God to teach us the roads that He takes, or the paths, it says here. That teach me your paths, which means how God does what He does. Not only who you are, God, but how do you do the things that you do? Why do you do the things that you do? I want to know you. And He says, guide me into your truth and teach me. This one-on-one time with God is asking to be God to be like a guide, like a trail guide. Have you guys ever had like a trail guide or like a tour guide or anything like that? Which is you go with someone who knows what they're doing and where they're going, and you go, okay, show me where to go and what to do here. You know this trail. I don't know this trail. You show me what to do. And we're saying, God, be our guide into truth. I don't know truth. I can't understand truth, but I want you to guide me into it. And actually, in John chapter 16, he says that the Holy Spirit is our will be our guide. He will guide us into all truth. That God does do that for us. And I look at this and I go, well, why does David want to spend time with God? Why is it so important to him? Why is he expressing this way? And he says, for you are God. Kind of a simple statement. He says, you are God. You are my Savior. You are my hope. You are the reason that I live. You are the purpose for my life. You are the one that I'm living for. Why in the world wouldn't I want to spend time with you? That's what David is saying. But I think we should ask ourselves that. I mean, how much of the time do you spend time with friends? How much of the time do you spend time with your family? How much of the time do you spend time with all these other people in your life who are very important people? And then how much time do you spend with God? He's God, and we have a chance to spend like one-on-one time with God? Why don't we miss that? Why don't I miss that? I'm talking to myself. You guys who went to camp know that I shared with you guys that something that God showed me that week through solo time. We had a lot of solo time that week, and by the way, if you guys should talk to some of these people who went to camp, because every single one of them will tell you that they were impacted by one-on-one time with God, a lot of one-on-one time with God that week. But how I was impacted that week is I went, I'm not doing this. You know, I spend tons of time every week studying God's word, understanding God's word, because I want to communicate it well. But God really showed me that week, man, how much time am I really just hanging out, me and God? not a lot. And it's still not a lot. And some of you guys who are supposed to be keeping me accountable aren't doing very, very well getting on my case. It's important. And it's an awesome opportunity that we have to do that. This point, guys, of the significance of spending one-on-one time with God, honestly, is really the only point of what we're talking about tonight. We're going to talk about a couple other things that kind of go along with that. But if you walk away tonight getting this, that this is important, and hopefully some of you guys going, you know what, this is important enough that I'm going to make it happen, that's what we need to get. One-on-one time with God is important. And honestly, it doesn't really matter how that looks. I know a lot of people have different formulas of do this, do that, you know, devotion time, do this, do that, do that, do this, do that. That's not even really the issue. I mean, those things are all good, and we'll talk about some of those things. But the most important thing is that you're doing it. I don't care what that looks like. Are we doing that? Are we taking time just to go, God, I'm going to spend time just you and me? Whatever that looks like. But you might go, okay, what should we be doing that during that time? What does the Bible say about how we can use some of that time? Well, the first thing is this. It says there, Bible study is a great way to spend time one-on-one with God because the first one is it helps me to trust God. And we're going to be going really quick through these verses, so if you guys don't want to flip, you can look right up here. John 20, 30 and 31 says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. John's talking about his book. He wrote a gospel about who Jesus was and what he did. He said Jesus did a lot of other stuff that wasn't recorded in his book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And that word believing actually is to trust. We sometimes think that we can split the meaning of that word apart and that we can believe in something that we don't put our trust into. That is not true in this sense, in the Greek sense. In the Greek sense, when you believed in someone, that means you put all of your trust, all of your hope into that person. It's a full trust. And these things were written so that we can trust God. Again, correlating it back to a relationship. As you grow in a relationship, you start to trust somebody more. Sometimes you start a relationship and you don't feel like you can share everything. You don't feel like you can quite trust that person with everything that's going on with you because they might laugh at you or you just don't know them well enough. But as you spend more time with that person, you build trust. As you get to know that person, you build trust, and it works the same way with God. Psalm 119 says, how can those who are young keep their way pure? By living according to your word, he answers his own question there. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. As we build God's word into our lives, as we spend God's word, spend time in God's word, as we're spending this one-on-one time with God, it helps us not to sin against him, not to hurt him. We understand him. We understand what he desires of us and how we can serve and love our God. That's an important part of that of what we can be doing during that one-on-one time. It also helps me to grow. Bible study is a great way to spend one-on-one time because it helps me to grow. Romans 12, helps me to know God's will. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We talked a little bit last series about this idea of renewing our minds and that we do that by looking at God's word and understanding his thoughts. And as we do that, he says, you can be able to test and approve. You can really, really know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, what God's will for you is. Great way to spend one-on-one time with God. It also gives me a chance to hear God, speak. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Which we could spend a lot of time on the second part of that, but it's the first part of that I want to focus on, which is that all scripture is God-breathed, which is God took a breath, and he spoke words that we have in right in front of you, those are God's words, that he spoke words and they fell out onto paper. You know, I've heard people tell me before, I don't feel like I hear God's voice. Tell me how to hear God's voice. And my answer always is, open up God's word. You want to know what God is saying to you? He's saying that. Open it up. Understand it. That's God's words breathed out to you. Open it, read it. We can hear him speak to us. Wow. Great chance. We can talk to God, but we can also hear him talk to us through his word. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says that it reminds me of what God has done. Starting in verse 7, it says, impress them upon your children. Them that he's talking about here is he's talking about the law that they had, which was God's word that they had at that time. He says, impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. He's saying, put them everywhere and talk about them all the time. Then he goes on and says, When Yahweh, your God, brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget Yahweh, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. What he's saying here is that the Israelites were about to go into this land that he had promised them a long time ago. And they were ready. They were so ready to go into this land. And he said, you're going to go in. And you're going to get all of this stuff that you did not put the work in to get. You're going to get a house that you did not build. You're going to get, because they were going in and conquering this land, you're going to get vineyards that you did not plant. You're going to get food that you did not harvest the food. You're going to get water from wells that you did not dig the wells. You didn't put the work into it. And it's going to be easy at that point to kind of be fat and happy. You know, hey, this is great stuff. I'm just going to hang out and enjoy all this wealth that I have. But he said, remember my word. Go back to my word. Tell everyone about my word so that you don't forget that the one who got them there, who brought them there, who gave the stuff to them. And the Israelites were really bad at that. Honestly, they get into the land and then they did not remember his word. They kept forgetting who had done all these great things for them. So it reminds me of what God has done. The last thing that you have there is that it's a good way to spend one-on-one time with God because it teaches me what God is like. Flip over your papers, and on the back you will see a list, an awesome list. If you're ever doing solo time, one-on-one time with God, this is a great thing to start out with, a great thing to look at. This is who God is. This is a list of all these great things that God is. God is love. He's all-powerful. He's righteous. He's creator. He's sovereign. He's our ransom, our peace. He's just. He's spirit. He's light. He's holy. He's good, he's truth, he's our refuge, he's our helper, he's our advocate. All these great things about who God is, and this is just a great thing. Melissa actually has a list of these things. She has this little calendar of 31 things, and she just looks at different attributes of God every day, a different attribute every day, just to remind herself of who God is and what he has done. You want to get to know someone, you spend time with them. Great way to get to know God is to spend time in his word. Getting to know, letting him talk to you and say, hey, this is who I am. Let me tell you about myself. Very, very important thing to do, to get into God's word. Next point there is the next thing we can do when we are doing one-on-one time is meditation. It says meditation is a great way to spend one-on-one time with God. And I'm not talking about Eastern meditation, which most of us think of when we think of meditation. It's like, you know, we cross our legs and we go, you know, you see people doing that. That is not at all the biblical idea of meditation, because that kind of meditation is like, I'm going to shut off my brain. That's like their whole point, is to clear their mind of everything and, you know, just empty your mind. This is the opposite of that. The point of biblical meditation is completely different than that. We see that in Psalm... One says, blessed are those who do not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on his law day and night. It's taking God's word and meditating on it, thinking about it. It's active. It's not passive. It's an active thinking and getting excited about God's word and what he says. Psalm 4:4 says, tremble and do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. The word search actually means to meditate in. Meditate in your hearts. This idea of meditation is a quiet time. It's getting away to where you don't have distractions, and you can spend time thinking about who God is and what he's done. That's what meditation, this biblical meditation is. Psalm 119, 48 says, I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. It's the idea of trying to grasp for God's word to really understand it. You might be reading something and you go, man, let me just, I want that idea from this passage to really impact me. So I'm going to sit and think about this idea of what God is telling me. And you kind of chew it over in your mind. It's like the idea of chewing cud. Do you guys know what that is? It's like it's chewing something that will not break down. You know, you just keep on chewing on it and chewing on it and chewing on it. It's that idea of repetitively going, how will this impact me? What does this really mean? What could this mean to my life in this area? What could this mean to my life in this area? It's really taking time when there's no distractions around you to go, I'm really going to think through this. Not just read through what God's word says, but actually think through it and allow it to impact me. And I'm missing the last part of my sheet. So I'm just going to look right up here. The last thing is prayer is a great way to spend one-on-one time with God. Prayer is the last thing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually, which people have asked me about this before because it seems like, oh, I'm just supposed to like forget everything that I'm doing in my life and just pray without stopping. Some translations say pray without ceasing. That sounds like, wow, I'm never going to stop. But it's an exaggeration of a phrase, just like I would say, man, you eat all the time. You know, someone would say that. You eat all the time. Does that really mean that the person eats all the time? No, it just means that they eat all the time. They're eating like every chance they get. That's what this is saying. Pray all the time. Pray every chance you get. Pray, just carry on a conversation with God all the time. Any chance you get, just talk to God. Because God is there. God is always with us. Don't ignore him. He's there. Talk to him. You know, you walk by, you have a thought, and you're like, oh, God, man, I don't want to go to that class. You know, you just talk to God just all the time. But as important as it is to pray all the time, it's also important to make a special effort make it important to pray one-on-one with God. You know, last series we talked a lot about mimicking Jesus. That we want to live out his life through ours. And Jesus is a fantastic example of how we need to have prayer in our lives. Jesus prayed all the time. He prayed with his disciples. He prayed by himself. He just prayed all the time. But he spent a lot of time doing stuff like this. Luke 5:16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He saw the need to go, you know what? I'm here doing all this stuff, and Jesus did great stuff. We know. We read God's word. He did awesome things. But he needed to go and just have a conversation with God, one-on-one, just the two of them. And you know what? Sometimes the disciples were actually bothered by that. That last verse, if you actually look at the context of the passage, the disciples come and go, we've been looking for you everywhere, Jesus. And he's like, come on, I was talking to God. You know, it was they were bothered by the fact that he was doing that. But he needed to do this. Luke 6:12, it says again, one of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. This was right before he was about to give this this big teaching time that he was going to teach a bunch of people. One-on-one time with God. Again, this seems like very repetitious that Jesus just kept doing this very early in the morning. While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. This was before he was going to go hang out with his disciples. He was choosing his disciples and going to be with them. Matthew 26:36 says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He didn't hang out with his friends. He didn't even pray with them, although he had prayed earlier that night with them. He went, you know what? I need some time, just me and God. And this was right before he was going to the cross. He knew it was coming. And he decided of everything that he could have been doing, he could have been like living it up and like, you know, getting his last days, you know, doing something fun. But instead he went, you know what? What's important is one-on-one time with God. It's important. We need to be spending time with God. Asking your soul at group, Ben. Down at the bottom of you guys' handout, you guys have a couple of questions there. It says, are you intentional about using the time that you have wisely? Are you honestly looking at your day and going, you know what, I want to live my day the best way I possibly can? Or are you just kind of going through your day? I know I do it all the time. Especially when it's one of those days I go, this is just going to be like last Tuesday and the Tuesday before that and the Tuesday before that. But are we really viewing our day like, you know what? I need to make the most of every opportunity I have today. And what would it take to spend more one-on-one time with God? You guys are all saying, you know, I want to grow in my relationship with God. I want to know him more. I want to have a more intimate relationship with him. What can you do to spend one-on-one time with him? I'm telling you, it will change your relationship with him. And if you don't know that from first-hand experience, honestly, ask any of the people that went to camp. They will tell you. God met with them that week. Not because of the programs that the camp had, although they were cool, but because of the time they got to spend with God one-on-one. It's important. Let's pray and we'll go to our groups. God, I just thank you that you are a God who wants to be personal with us. That this is even something that we would talk about, that you want to be intimate with us and you want to spend time with us, and that we don't do a very good job of spending time with you. God, I pray that we would make an effort to spend time with you. And we know we can only do that the more effort we put into it, the more we try, the more we're going to fail in those areas. But we just want that. And God, I just pray that you would do whatever it takes in our lives, that we would just spend some time with you. And that no matter what that looks like, that we would just have quiet time, one-on-one, just you and us, hanging out. I pray this all in your name. Amen. Guys, we're going to go to our groups. You're going to spend some time doing your normal So What stuff. Once you're done with So What time, your So What leaders are going to send you out with some instructions on some solo time of your own. You're going to have time to do that tonight, just one-on-one time, you and God. When we start playing music, that's your indication that you can start coming into this room and spend time worshiping. Go to your show at times.